What's up? What's good?
What's really good?
Last week we talked a little self-sabotage. We really hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed that episode.
I did too.
Very informational.
Lots of good stuff.
Yeah. And the week before
was her favorite.
Was my favorite. Or one of my favorites in a long time. We talked monogamy and polygamy. So if you haven't listened to that, run it back and then come back and meet us here. But this week, we're diving into some unconventional ways, or what society considers taboo, if you will, on how to keep a relationship healthy.
Healthy.
So grab your snack and your coffee, your Red Bull, your wine, your water, people,
your water.
And let's get into it.
All right, so let's dive in, shall we?
Yeah.
So to create a healthy relationship, you might think it's necessary to stick to the script and follow all the common rules that we've accepted as right when it comes to being in a relationship. But if you and your partner are a bit out of the ordinary with how you live your lives, you shouldn't worry about this ruining your relationship. In fact, there are actually a few unconventional ways to improve your relationship, despite the fact they might sound different from some of the old-fashioned rules you may be used to. If breaking old-fashioned relationship rules makes you happy, then go for it, says certified counselor Jonathan Bennett. Mindlessly following old-fashioned customs and advice never made any relationship successful. And that's because there is no one-size-fits-all recipe for being happy. There are so-called rules or guidelines about how to make a relationship work, behaviors that are or are not appropriate or acceptable. But truth be told, we are all so different as individuals, says Colby Marie, a sex and relationship coach. We have different likes, desires, experiences, values, perspectives, baggage, needs, etc., which also means every relationship is unique. If the individuals in the relationship are happy, satisfied, safe, and fulfilled, it shouldn't matter what the rules are.
Ooh, yes.
Ooh.
Hoody-hoo.
Run it back. So these out-of-the-box things we're about to talk about may create interesting situations between you and your partner, but experts say that they can actually improve your relationship, so feel free to give them a try if you see fit. So we're going to go over 9 things that people consider taboo, as you would say,
taboo,
but can actually improve your relationship if done properly.
Yeah. So, number 1, sleeping in separate beds and or bedrooms. Listen now, listen, Linda. It's popular opinion that in order to have a healthy relationship, you have to spend the night spooning your partner in bed, especially if you live together. But people are discovering that that's not actually true. If you need some space at night to roll around, sleep like a starfish, which is my favorite. This is my favorite. Or if you feel like you're going crazy from being kept up all night by a snoring partner, then it makes perfect sense to sleep separately. A lot of couples are having what's jokingly referred to a sleep divorce, where they sleep in separate beds. The people doing this say that having their private space not only improves their relationship, but has also improved their quality of sleep. So if this works for you and your partner, grab your pillows and go, and don't feel guilty about it.
Amen.
Sleeping in separate beds or bedrooms is only a problem when it's due to something negative. If you're sleeping in separate bedrooms because you don't want to be close or intimate with your partner, then you got a problem. But if you're only sleeping separate to make you both happy and it's strengthening your relationship, then it's not taboo.
Agreed. 100%.
100,000%.
Number 2, going out and socializing separately, which I feel like we've talked about this a little bit here and there in other episodes that we've done.
Here and there and everywhere.
It's very important.
So if your partner goes to a social event without you, or vice versa, people may ask questions. But honestly, who cares?
Who cares?
While many people think couples need to go everywhere together, it's actually very healthy to do things separately every once in a while.
Yes.
A lot of people feel like they need to do couple activities all the time. But spending time apart can be beneficial to a relationship since it allows you to pursue hobbies and interests that your partner might not enjoy. Plus, some independence is very good in a relationship.
Right. And just to piggyback on that, just really quick, if you and your partner are constantly together, there's no time to miss each other. And wouldn't you rather have someone actually do something that you love because they want to partake in it, not because you're hounding them about, well, we we have to do couple activities.
Right, exactly.
What are couple activities?
I was just going to call them activities. I was hoping you'd know.
No, I've no, well, not a couple, so.
Weird vibes.
Number three, having different hobbies. This goes along with going out separately to social events. It's perfectly okay to have separate hobbies if you choose to do so. And don't get us wrong. All couples should have meaningful time together, but there's no shame and having separate interests and pursuing them. If you want to take a class, go out dancing, take a trip by yourself, that's perfectly acceptable. Your partner does not have to tag along everywhere you go. They are not your child. And even if you have a child, they don't have to go everywhere you go. And again, doing things separately is healthy for the both of you.
I love to travel alone, personally.
You do.
I really do. I enjoy it because one of the benefits of traveling alone is you don't have to worry about anyone or anything else. You get to do whatever you want to do, go wherever you want to go. You know, it's so peaceful.
It's her dream.
It's so peaceful.
This is what dreams are made of.
Only if my dog can come with me, though. Okay, number four, ignoring each other throughout the day. Do people think it's strange that you don't text your partner every chance you get? If having small amounts of contact with your partner while you're apart works for your relationship, then don't let anyone make you feel bad about it. The concept of constantly texting another person throughout the day can be romantic, but constant access to your partner can have downsides too. You don't always need instant access to your partner or vice versa. A lot of times it's more meaningful to enjoy something in the present moment and tell your partner about it later face to face. Facts.
I don't know about you, but when you're at work or you're busy, you don't always, like, that's not the first thing in my mind. And maybe, right. Maybe I'm the wrong one for that, or maybe we're conditioned to think that that's wrong. But you shouldn't have to text your partner throughout the entire day when you're separate. Like, if you want to, that's great.
Yeah.
But don't also get mad if they're busy and they don't respond when you think they should be responding.
Right. I mean, especially if you already live together.
Right.
You see each other, like, constantly. And we've talked about that before in the previous episode about relationship stereotypes. We talked about that.
Number five, sharing and talking about touchy subjects. If you don't want to share something with your partner because it makes you feel uncomfortable, that is perfectly fine. But if you have something that's weighing heavily on your mind and you feel like you can't say it out loud because you're worried about your partner's reaction, maybe a good idea to get it out of the way. All in the name of a healthier relationship. No one should feel fear when wanting to bring up something or someone in your relationship. Your partner shouldn't make you feel badly about doing so either. You have an opportunity to become closer when you realize anything can be on the table. There's a lot of freedom when you look at it that way. There's so many positives to being open, even if it feels difficult. Feeling censored or like you can't be yourself is often far more damaging than putting yourself completely on the table. It's important to have open communication, as we've said, I feel like in every damn episode, open communication, because there is always something to be learned that you can make your relationship better from.
Yes. Number six, keeping a few secrets. It can be considered taboo to keep secrets from your significant other.
What? Right. You're supposed to tell them everything, Sam.
Relax.
Everything.
So after all, you're best friends and you're partners, and therefore you have to tell each other everything, right? But if you don't want to, it's perfectly okay to keep a few things secret. There's this belief that in order to have a strong romantic relationship, we need to be complete open books with our partner. It may sound counterintuitive, but there are some secrets that are probably better kept. If you don't want to share something private about your past, then don't. If you're mulling over an issue and aren't ready to share, that's fine too. It's all about deciding what's right for your relationship and going with your gut when it comes to sharing secrets.
And to be honest, you have to look at who your partner is as a person anyway. Are they capable of hearing said secret?
Yeah.
Are they going to use it against you later?
Mm-hmm.
If you open up, like, being open and honest is wonderful, but you have to be open and honest with a person that you're able to be open and honest with. Yeah. They're not going to use it as a weapon to hurt your feelings later in an argument or whatever.
And especially, like, if you have secrets from before you ever knew your partner, I don't feel like
you have to.
You should feel required to share that.
Absolutely.
Because it's not relative.
Right, the two are.
Unless you just want to.
Right.
Weird. Weird vibes, bro.
Weird. Can't relate. Number seven, going on vacation alone. Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. It may seem completely taboo to go on vacation without your partner, and it may even seem odd to some people if you spend the weekend apart, but having moments away from each other can actually improve your relationship in a pretty significant way. If you are in a committed, trusting relationship, this time apart can actually bring more to your relationship than one might expect. New conversations, how much they appreciate you and all that you do, time to miss each other, etc. While it's important to do things together and create bonds in that way, you shouldn't be afraid to go out alone or on vacation alone occasionally if that's what you both want to do.
Mm, yes. And number 8, ignoring each other while at home. Now hear me out, okay? Hear me out. While it is healthy to reconvene after a long day, catch up, have dinner together, cuddle if that's your thing. It's not mine, sorry.
She cuddles with me, don't. Mm-hmm.
And my dog. No, but it's not imperative that you do this every single night and day, okay? As mentioned above, having your own life, including seeing friends and doing activities you love, will keep you from losing your own identity. And if that means one of you is at home relaxing while the other is out with friends or taking a class or going to work, that's more than okay. Your relationship will not fall to pieces just because you have separate schedules. I promise.
Promise.
But this separation can also occur while you're both at home. It may feel strange or rude to sit in one room while your partner's in the other. And yet, if it works for both of you, then it's okay. The evening hours are the perfect time to relax and recharge, and it's not always necessary that you do so together.
Oh, amen.
And I mean, especially if you work in a job where you work with people all day, sometimes, like, I know the previous job that we both had, sometimes I would come home and you just want no one to talk to
you. Like, you don't want, because you talk all day.
Yeah.
You talk all day long to people and you're constantly servicing people. And what can you do for them? And what can you do for them and that and the third and John and Paul and Peter and Adam and whoever else? And you just want to come home and just hear silence.
Yeah.
Turn on some background noise. Turn on some mindless TV you don't really have to pay attention to. And just be.
Yeah. I honestly, one of my favorite things when I've had like a crazy busy day, I love to just put a movie on and play a game on my iPad and have no one speak to me. Like, it's the best. Certified.
Non-lovable. Number 9, last and final, letting any and all emotions be okay.
I think this is my favorite one.
You think it would be considered normal to show emotions in front of your partner or significant other, right? But it's still slightly taboo for some people, especially men. No, nothing against men. But to share their feelings, whether that means crying or admitting they feel depressed or emotional for some reason, men don't usually do that. And yet it's so important to create a relationship where both partners feel comfortable opening up regardless of gender. Research has shown that relationships in which the man stonewalls have a significantly higher likelihood to break up. The same is shown when either partner fails to take responsibility for their actions or make excuses for said actions. It is important for men to discuss their thoughts, feelings, emotions with their partner and break the mold of what it is to be a man in society. But of course, not all men have difficulty opening up. We're not saying that. And a lot of men can express their emotions. But in any relationship, both partners need to be able to communicate and get vulnerable to feel connected and cared for.
Communication. Just like we always talk about.
I mean, it sounds so simple. I think that might be my favorite one too. Because just breaking it down to simple gender, right? Male, female. No matter which kind of way you're looking at it. People who are more manlier or male do seem to have a harder time expressing their emotions for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time that is how they were raised. Mm-hmm. Or that's how they feel, or they've been shown how to be a man or a male. Women get the stereotype that we're just not in control of our emotions.
Right.
Because we cry or whatever the case may be. I think that's bullshit.
I do too.
Because I do, I mean, I feel like I'm pretty in tune with my emotions and I can express those emotions and what I feel and everything else. That doesn't make me soft.
Right. I agree. And we've talked about it before. I mean, especially when it comes to men, I think a lot of that has to do with our parents and mm-hmm. grandparents.
Yeah.
And that's why our generation has been affected so much because, I mean, back in the day, men didn't talk about shit.
Oh, no.
Like, that wasn't a thing.
You didn't. You just didn't do it.
Yeah.
You just rub some dirt on it and suck it up.
Mm-hmm. I need some emotionally intelligent
I
men.
I need a soldier.
We're back.
So, relationships are work, right? This is nothing new.
Period.
As anything worth having in life is going to be work. But relationships should not be hard. So many songs and movies glorify the fiery, passionate lovers that fight all the time and make things hard for one another. And honestly, in real life, that just gets tiring.
Very fast.
Really, really fast. One of my favorite people to follow on Instagram is Mastin Kipp. And I pulled something that he said and I wanted to share it. It says, to have a successful relationship, it's all about learning how to grow through the tension of wanting different things but being together.
I love that.
I love that as well. And he also says, sometimes you should divorce or break up with the pattern, not the person. Many people cite, quote, irreconcilable differences for why they should get divorced. But happily ever after is about reconcilable differences. And the best way to reconcile your differences is with an attachment and trauma-informed approach to healing your relationship. We can connect over our similarities and we grow through our differences. This is perhaps one of the hardest things there is to do in life, is to be different together. But that's how you get the most out of life.
I think I follow that page.
I love that
as well. But yeah, so just to go, basically, part two is going to be a little more of the same type of topics, just a little bit of a different spin on them. So a lot of people are taught that certain topics are off limits or taboo, like we've said, in their childhoods. And those taboos can stunt important adult relationship conversations. As a child or a teenager, you may have learned from adults in your life that it's inappropriate to discuss topics like sex, money, or death. These taboos, or any subject matter deemed unacceptable by society, can follow you into a adulthood and make it hard to approach certain difficult but important topics with a partner or loved one. But there are things you can do to break through that mental barrier. The key is understanding where a taboo topic came from originally. Open communication with your significant other about these taboo topics can help strengthen your relationship overall. So number one, and this is a funny one, stomach issues, okay? So these are topics that people need to talk about but don't like to talk about.
Do we really need to talk about it?
Stomach issues. So it's been said that couples that are comfortable talking about poop are the happiest couples. I know this one's your favorite.
So uncomfortable.
Everybody takes a shit, okay?
It is. This is true.
This is common law. So also, everyone deserves happiness too. So from a logical standpoint,
happiness equals poop.
So from a logical standpoint, everybody deserves to be able to talk about poop with the person who makes them happy. So however, that isn't always the case. Sometimes people are just too uptight, Mackenzie, about it. The talking, that is. It'll make for a more relaxed, more intimate, more hilarious union. So let's just cut the crap and get it on
literally
with it.
Cut the crap.
Cut the crap.
You know what's funny, though? In a relationship, in an actual relationship I feel comfortable in, that's a normal. Everybody craps.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm going to be on my first day and be like, man, I got to take a shit. No! I'm like, what do you mean girls don't poop? What?
What is the poop conversation?
Okay. Right.
The poop conversation? So hard to be serious.
I didn't think we would ever discuss this.
So, the poop conversation is what you make of it. But it's essentially a dialogue between two people within a relationship about the schedule and expectation of each other's bowel movements,
mm-hmm.
and you put them out in the open, okay? It involves an honest and open talk about how your bathroom routine works, what the party should expect from you, and what to avoid, and how to rid the relationship of any poop-related awkwardness. So short version, it's a talk about how you shit.
Yeah, or the lack thereof. Maybe if you're not regular.
It's not healthy.
Number two, unpopular opinions. Handling an unpopular opinion has a lot to do with how you present it to other people. I couldn't agree more. The best way to do this is to keep your arguments in positive rather than negative. Negative arguments are not going to help. Instead of focusing on why the other person is wrong, keep your arguments centered around your opinions and why you think that way. This will help other people feel less attacked and more likely to hear what you have to say. In other words, pick your battles. How often have we heard that? Not every battle is worth fighting. Not every battle is fair. If the other person is not willing to have a respectful, open discussion, then the battle is over before it even begins and no one wins. If you ever argue with someone and you immediately know that they're just trying to just win the argument, they're just gonna say whatever.
Absolutely.
They just pulling shit from the
sky. Stuff they don't even know nothing about.
Nothing. So be careful about the battles you choose to bring your unpopular opinion into. Know what really matters to you and ask yourself, what are the odds of me being able to start a productive conversation? And will this debate matter tomorrow? And what do I know about the person I want to argue with or debate with? Is that relationship worth risking over this topic? And here's a hint. Most battles are not worth fighting. Think carefully before starting something that is of little consequence to you. And having an unpopular opinion doesn't mean you always have to keep your mouth shut, though. But you should make sure that you know what you're doing before you open your mouth.
I don't think there's anything more frustrating than trying to debate with someone that only wants to fight.
Right, they're just an argumentative person.
Like, I feel like me and you are very open-minded people. Uh-huh. So when I debate with someone, like, I want you to prove me wrong. Like, and I'm fully comfortable debating my side because anything that I believe, I do research on.
Right.
And look into.
And even, it's not even about, sometimes it's not even about, like, you better come correct and prove me wrong. It's sometimes we're like, tell me why, like, I genuinely want to know what makes you think the way that you're thinking.
Right.
And I want to be able to communicate why I think the way I do.
Yeah.
Because people who are of little minds don't want to hear anybody else's opinion. They think it's outrageous. They think it's, no, my way or the highway. I'm right, you're wrong. And a lot of times, arguments or debates are not right and wrong. It's opinion.
It is.
It was purely opinion.
And a lot of times, people need to remember it's your opinion.
Right.
Okay, they're like assholes. This is not a fact.
Right.
Everyone's got one.
Opinions are, you know. They are like assholes. Everyone has them, and sometimes they stink. Not mine, but
it goes well with our poop conversation. You know,
if your asshole stinks, wash that.
This next one, it kind of goes with the poop conversation.
Go for this. Go for it.
It can be a little awkward for some people. Men. I don't really give a shit about it.
People
some
meaning
some men are really weird about
people
it.
People meaning men, and some women though they won't talk about it.
Yeah.
Which is weird to me.
This makes some men very uncomfortable. I don't really understand
it's
why.
It's another P word and not what you're thinking.
We're going to talk about periods. Okay. Periods. Period poo.
I was going to say period poo. I have my hand ready and everything.
So while it can be hard to broach the topic of your period with your significant other.
It should not be.
It shouldn't be. Oftentimes, it can result in unexpected benefits, like learning how someone will respond in a moment of need. Here are three other ways talking about your period can help improve your relationship. So, number one, it reduces awkwardness. Being open about your period can make it easier to be open about other reproductive health-related topics. If you are sexually active or considering becoming sexually active, you need to be able to bring up topics like sexual history, sexually transmitted infections. Starting these conversations can be hard. But if you have a history of talking about something as intimate as your period, it may make things easier. If you are extremely uncomfortable even mentioning that you are on your period to your significant other, it may be a sign that you aren't quite ready to take things to a physical level. And number two, you can become more comfortable. Everyone has a period emergency occasionally, okay? Every woman I've ever known has had one. And while no one wants to have to make an emergency side trip to buy tampons while on a date, there is a silver lining to experiencing something a little embarrassing in front of a significant other. If they are supportive, bonus points if the guy runs in the store to get you the tampons, first of all.
Yeah.
Bonus points for you, brother.
Marry him.
Okay? It tells you a lot about the type of person that they are. Plus, if they see that you didn't freak out when something embarrassing happened to you, bets are they will be more comfortable admitting when they need help with something potentially embarrassing too. And then number three, you get to know each other. We all have awkward, funny, and sometimes even exciting stories regarding the experience of becoming a woman. While you may not feel comfortable sharing all of these stories with your significant other, opening up about a few and asking them to open up about a few of their puberty stories can be a great way to get to know each other on a deeper level. Sharing how you each navigated puberty can provide insight into each other's insecurities, childhoods, important relationships, and life-shaping moments. Plus, you'll both have a good laugh swapping stories about your parents' awkward attempts at the talk.
Or lack thereof.
Lack thereof.
If you were like me.
Sex was so taboo, like you didn't talk about it.
Oh, no. And let's be honest, okay? Men, if you're in a relationship with a female and y'all are routinely intimate, you should want her to start her period. Right. Unless you're just trying for something. But it's not a weird thing. It's very natural. And anybody who's free, any man that goes, I'm not going to get no damn tampons.
Right.
You're weird, bro. It's weird. These are just products, you know? Right. Like, and nobody, tell me, unless this is the only store in your town and you know somebody who actually works there, and even then, that's stupid. When are you ever going to see this person at the counter ever again?
Right.
Anyway, I digress. Number four.
The big one.
Money. My money. It is not surprising that money is the top or a top cause of fights between couples. Whether you're trying to get on the same page about budget or extra spending, money worries can be stressful. Getting on the same page as your partner is so important, but you can only do that if you have a clear and open communication about goals, dreams, values, etc., especially when it comes to finances. Love puts no limits on the topics of conversation, and that includes money. Talk about the bank account. Talk about the bank account. Talk about how much he's bringing in. If whoever want to talk about it. Again, love puts no limits on the topic of conversation. And learning how to have these money conversations is the key to a successful relationship. So you got to start with being honest. Duh. When you're talking about money, dreams, and building your life together, it's important to be vulnerable and honest with your partner. These types of conversations are the ones that build and strengthen the foundation of your relationship and ultimately your life together. Be honest about what you believe and how you feel, and then allow your partner to do the same without judgment, people. Number two, listen. Not just like listen and pretend you're listening.
Right.
Like really listen to your partner. Don't just listen to think of a response of your own. Listen to understand, not listen to respond. When your partner is talking, you can only ask questions. This will help you to get to know the why behind how they actually feel. Then, when they are finished, only when they are finished, you can share your thoughts about what they said. That is called a conversation.
Yes.
You're talking, I listen. You're done, I talk, you listen. You see how it flows? Not just talking over each other and yelling.
It's so hard.
It's so hard. It really is, honestly. Basics. Number three, stay calm. Really, conversations, though, you should always be calm. It shouldn't turn into an argument, but stay calm. When you raise your voice, your partner will likely raise theirs too. Then you're both just talking loudly and yelling just to be heard. Remember the idea we just shared. If you're listening intently and asking questions, there will be no need for yelling. So try to stay calm no matter what.
Yes. And number five, moving in together and future plans.
Don't do it. Just kidding.
So the last thing you want to do is force a heavy conversation with your partner. So don't set a date on the calendar or awkwardly pull up a chair to have a chat. Instead, just let it happen naturally. The more seamlessly you can allow information to simply emerge as part of your normal conversation, the less pressure you will both feel. Talking about the future can be scary, because what if the two of you don't share the same goals?
Right.
While this can sometimes be a deal breaker, it doesn't have to be and shouldn't prevent you from bringing up the subject. Avoid all or nothing thinking. There is likely a middle ground when it comes to negotiating the future. Don't approach your partner when you're out trying to have fun, for example.
Please.
And if a conversation feels awkward or forced, you need to take that as a sign that you need to try again at another time.
Right. It's obviously not productive, so pause and we'll take a rain check.
Right, and like it said, pick the right time and place. Like when you're just out drinking with your friends, that's not...
Or at the grocery store.
You know, that's not... it's not the time.
And don't be sending, we need to talk text.
Right.
Because now we're both just anxious.
Right. I hate that shit.
And I'm going to say, yes, we do. And now you're going to be feeling the way I do. Uh-huh. Number six. Exes. Talking about past relationships can give your partner insight into who you are. Don't judge me, baby. I had low self-esteem. Don't do it. Talking about your exes can help you communicate to your partner about how you grew into the person you are today. Often, romantic relationships serve as learning experiences that let you test the boundaries of your interests and needs. Reflecting on a past relationship can help you find out something about yourself that you may have missed during that relationship and breakup. Candid, focused conversations build trust and encourage open communication. Okay, take a shot every time we talk about open communication.
This would be a good episode for a drinking game.
Unless you are able to share what you've learned, it's like hiding a part of yourself. Does that mean you need to share every last sexual encounter that you've had and the intimate details of every single encounter? No, that's not what we're saying. There are appropriate levels of sharing.
Appropriate.
Keeping details to a minimum. Simply explain what happened with the ex, what you learned, and where you are now. And of course, every couple is different, and you'll have to gauge your partner's curiosity and comfort level. Nobody wants to feel like they're competing.
Right.
With an ex or being compared to an ex. We all do it, though, subconsciously. I feel like I've caught myself doing it. And nobody likes to feel that way.
And I hate the ex conversation because I honestly, like, yeah.
Do you feel like it's relative?
I don't.
To a new relationship.
I don't.
You don't?
And I know that's not a popular opinion. I know people think that you need to talk about it.
I don't think it's a necessity.
Yeah.
But I think it depends on, like, if you, even if you don't feel like it's a necessary conversation, but your partner feels like it's necessary.
Yeah.
You will then indulge.
Right.
Maybe not give as much minimum, share what needs to be shared, or whatever the case may be, answer their questions only.
And that's what I was going to say. There is such thing as oversharing.
Oh, yeah.
There are some details that don't need to be told.
Some of us don't need to know.
You know.
Everything.
Really.
Anyway.
I digress.
That could be a whole separate conversation.
But number seven, politics. Don't discuss sex, politics, or religion is standard conversational advice. Having deep discussions about politics can actually improve intimacy.
Or completely ruin it.
Yes.
So be prepared.
Might end your marriage.
For the outcome.
Straight up. But this is true even if you and your partner don't always agree. So in fact, erotic chemistry grows when we see our partner separately from us and our relationship. Political conversations can also help couples learn to talk about difficult subjects and fight fairly. While it may be easier for some couples to avoid conflict, constructive fighting that respects boundaries
respects boundaries.
Okay? And allows both individuals to express themselves can strengthen relationships and build trust. Consider agreeing to only discuss politics at certain times. Not at family functions, not over a meal, not when you're downtown, okay? And do not spring these issues on your partner either. You can also try limiting the time allotted to discuss political conversations, which I highly recommend.
During elections.
Some people get really obsessed.
Yeah. Oh, like, that's all they are.
Right.
Some people, it's all they are.
Like, your identity has to be wrapped up in more than just your political party.
And last but not least, intimate details. Whether it is one thing or several, just say it. Just get it out. Say what it is that your partner does that you find so incredible. What partner doesn't want to hear about something that their partner really enjoyed while being intimate? Or say something that you don't like.
Yeah.
That too. Too often, couples withhold the very details that help one another know when they are getting something right.
Hey.
Okay. If you don't know what turns you on, why would your partner? If you don't know what turns you on, how are you going to get mad? Man, this man ain't hitting it right. Because you don't know what to tell him to do.
For real.
I mean, sometimes.
I'll coach.
Put me in, coach.
Hey.
You know? Anyway, tuning in to what turns you on is the key. Sensuality can be expanded when you slow down and consider how sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch puts you in the mood. Your senses, baby. Your senses. Letting your partner know this information helps them build a sexual map of your preferences. Real life is not like in the movies, and partners don't just magically know unless you give them a clue. Or unless you guys have been together for a while. Tell your partner what really turns you on. Thank us later.
And let me just throw this out there. See how you feel about this. One of the biggest problems is that y'all women be faking. Okay? Y'all got these men out here thinking they're doing something right because you're faking.
And then he comes to me. Now I'm displeased. Ladies. Okay, I can understand. Just for complete transparency, we've all done it as women. Okay? We can't say don't do it. We've all done it. Sometimes it's just to get it over with.
Right. Especially if it's bad, you know, and you're like wrap it up.
Yeah. Hurry up. But if you're constantly doing it and then you guys break up, he needs to know what he's doing. Right. And a lot of men don't like to be told that they're doing something wrong or not doing it right or what. Everybody's different. Yeah. Everybody has different preferences. And if you're going to date multiple people or have multiple relationships, I'm not saying all at the same time, okay? But in life, you got to know that what worked for some girl at 16, 17, 18, whatever, ain't going to work in 30s.
Right.
Unless it's the same person. And like you said, some men just have trouble finding stuff.
You know?
On another episode, in true cosine fashion, we are sparing no details.
No details.
All right. That is all we have for today's episode. And ultimately, we want to reiterate this, okay? If you are in a relationship of any kind, it's important to remember you should not listen to what anyone else says or what anyone else is telling you to do. What you and your partner decide is best for your relationship is what's best for your relationship, okay? As we mentioned in the beginning, we are all different and we all have different needs. Do not let society make you feel like you're doing your relationship wrong because it doesn't look like your friend's relationship or your parents' relationship or the people on social media. Okay, half the time, the people on social media,
that shit's fake.
It's fake. It's a highlight reel. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you and your significant other are happy with how you are doing things, then stick to that and screw what anyone else says about it. Okay,
absolutely,
baby boy, baby girl. But if you enjoyed today's episode and today's topic, and it sparked an idea or a thought, or maybe you just want to let us know something that you want us to talk about, send us a voice message or a DM on Instagram, co.signedpodcast. Make sure you hit that follow button while you're there, baby.
Yes, and the link to our link tree is also in our bio. So just depending on what platform you prefer, you can click the one link, go to any platform that you like to use.
Yes, and as always, guys, every
single
Tuesday.
Back at it.
Next week, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Oh my God. Uh-huh. Oh my God. Oh my God. Uh-huh. Oh my God. Oh.